Fusion, good to be with you guys. My name is Bo, Generations Pastor here at CA. So glad that you are joining us tonight. You guys excited to be here? You guys glad to be here at Fusion tonight? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little tired tonight. My boy Shepherd, he's about 8 weeks old. Amazing young man. But he's a lot like his dad. He's a night owl, and he is convinced that 3 a.m. is the best time to be up and partying and awake. So I was up partying with him last night, a little tired today. But listen, I got some energy. I got some faith for tonight. I believe God's got something he wants to say to you guys tonight and say to me. So I hope you're ready. Hope you're excited for what God has to say. Before we get to our message tonight, I wanted to just take a moment and pray together. You know, it was a tough week in our world. It was a tough week in the midst of a whole bunch of tough weeks, it seems like. But with what's going on in Syria, with the loss of life, the tragic loss of life over there, and then what we all read about today in Egypt and those bombings that took place as people gathered on Palm Sunday to worship Jesus, it's just tough. It's tough to look at this world and say, God, where are you? Where are you in this? And if that's your question, I understand it, and that's sometimes my question too, but the truth is God is in the midst of it. God is there. God is comforting the brokenhearted. God is healing lives. He's healing people. But can we just pray together for a moment as a community for what's going on? Oh, Jesus, we look at this world, and God, there's just so much hurt, and there's so much pain, and there's so much hatred, God. And there's so many things that we read about in the news and that sometimes we even witness with our own eyes that are so clearly not of you. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would move in these situations. God, we pray for peace. God, we pray for justice. And most importantly, God, we pray that you would use your church to rise up in this moment, in this time, in this world, that we would be the beacons of hope, that we would be the beacons of love, that we would be the beacons of understanding, that we would be the beacons of mercy in this world that is hurting so badly. Lord, use your church, we pray, that your kingdom might come. Lord, for those who have lost loved ones all over this world as a result of terror and war this week, God, we pray that you would draw near to the brokenhearted. We remember, Lord, Jesus, that you are the God who wept. And we recognize now that you grieve with those who are grieving, but you also bring hope. And so we pray that you would do that for these situations. God, we pray for peace. God, we pray for understanding. Would you move? Would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Fusion, grab your bulletin if you got one on the way in. There's some verses in there that we're going to read together. As Alex said, today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to be reading the story of what's called the triumphal entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. In fact, we're just going to begin by reading this together. So the words are going to be on the screen and also in your handout. Follow along. Matthew chapter 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Would you pray with me? God, we pray that your word would speak to us tonight. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you have to say to us tonight. Lord, we pray that you would help us to not miss the point of what you came to do and of what you are doing in this story and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fusion, have you ever missed the point of something that was being communicated or taught to you? Maybe it was something that a parent or a teacher was trying to communicate or trying to teach you. Perhaps it was a conversation with a spouse or a significant other. There's many times that there's a conversation being had and one person thinks that you're talking about dirty dishes left on the counter, but really there's a whole nother conversation taking place and one person is kind of on the surface and the other one has another point they're trying to make. We tend to miss the point sometimes, don't we? There's an amazing movie that illustrates this so well, and it's none other than the 1984 classic, The Karate Kid. Now, if you haven't seen The Karate Kid, that's okay. I'm going to take the next 30 minutes to just reenact the movie for you. No, I'm not going to do that. That would be absurd. But, in this movie, there's a young man named Daniel, and he and his mom move to the tough streets of SoCal, mid-80s. And when they arrive, they begin to be bullied by these hooligan youths from the Cobra Kai Dojo. That is this karate studio led by this really mean guy, and their whole philosophy is no mercy, you know, there's no weakness here, no mercy on the weak. And so Daniel is just being bullied by these Cobra Kai karate students, just getting beat up by them. And in one evening, he is being just beat up by these kids up against his fence, and then out of nowhere, this mysterious figure literally jumps over a fence and descends out of the sky and just whoops the butts of these teenage guys. And they are just left fleeing, and it turns out to be this old man named Mr. Miyagi. How many of you know it's a good thing Mr. Miyagi did this in the 80s? Can you imagine the lawsuits today if he beat up a bunch of high schoolers? Okay, so he beats up these students and sends them running. And upon realizing what had happened and realizing that Mr. Miyagi is his karate master, Daniel comes to him and he's like, Mr. Miyagi, I'm a kid, but I want to be a karate kid. And Miyagi's like, all right, let's do that. So he says, come to my house, and I'm going to teach you karate. So Daniel shows up ready to learn karate like Mr. Miyagi. Only Mr. Miyagi doesn't really start to teach him karate. He puts him to work. And Daniel spends days sanding the floor and painting the fence and painting the house. And what else? You all know it. Say it with me. Wax on, wax off. Fusion, way to be there for me on that one, you guys. Appreciate you. And after days of doing all of this manual labor around the house, Daniel has had enough. He thinks, this guy is just using me to take care of all of his stuff. And Daniel confronts him. Take a look at the screens.
Daniel-san! Daniel-san!
What?
Come here. Show me sand the floor.
I can't move my arm, all right? What are you doing? Ow! Ow, what are you doing?
Now show me sand the floor.
How did you do that?
Shut up!
Sand the floor.
Stand up. Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Big sucker. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me paint the fence. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Knock wrist. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That's! 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 Show me pin to fence. Face! Face! That's! That's! Show me side to side. Yes! That's! 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 Show me sand or floor. Hat! Face! Face! Face!
Daniel completely missed the point of what Mr. Miyagi was teaching him, right? Here he thought he was just doing this manual labor, but really Mr. Miyagi all along was teaching him the principles he was going to need that were going to be vital for her success at karate. We're talking tonight about a passage of scripture where the people involved actually ended up missing the point of what was really going on. Both the crowd that we see here and even Jesus' disciples who were there with him. You know, before we even talk about this section of scripture, though, I think it's so important for us to understand the concept or the context of what was happening. Because immediately at the end of chapter 20, right before the triumphal entry in Matthew, we read that Jesus, he heals two blind men and restores their sight to them. And he does this in front of his disciples, and he does this in front of what the Bible calls a great multitude. And I think this is important that this happens right before the triumphal entry, because it seems to me like Jesus is saying, as he restores the sight to these two men, it's like he's saying to his disciples, are your eyes open to what I'm about to do? Are you paying attention? Are you looking for the point? Yet as we're going to see, and if you read the rest of the story, you'll know these disciples, they missed the point. And they missed the point all along, which is so mind-blowing to me. These guys, these disciples of Jesus, they're like professional point missers. I mean, he taught them so many things and they witnessed so many things, yet time after time we see them missing the point. I love it in Matthew chapter 16, there's a moment where Jesus, he goes up to a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and what happens is what's known as the transfiguration. And he takes these guys up, and Jesus, on this mountain, his face begins to glow, and he glows white, his clothes start to glow white. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are there, and Jesus is talking with them. And Peter, James, and John are standing there just like, oh my gosh. And Peter, captain foot in the mouth, decides this is his moment to step in. And so Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah, and Peter walks up, and James and John are like, get back here. And he's like, no, I got this. And he goes up and he's like, Jesus, hey, Moses, Elijah, big fans, read all of your work, love you guys. Listen, Jesus, me and the guys were talking, and Peter and James were like, mm-mm, and John and James were like, mm. And Peter's like, listen, we were talking, it's good that we're here. It's good that we're here for this. I had an idea. We were talking. We're going to build some shelters, some temples for you. So you guys have a place to stay. We're going to camp out, build a fire. It's going to be awesome. And right then God steps in and goes, Peter, shut up. This is my son. I love him. I am pleased with him. Listen to what he says. Pay attention. Don't miss the point. Yet how many times do we see Peter, especially, missing the point? So now in our story, Jesus approaches Jerusalem. And we can't miss the significance of this moment. Since his ministry began, it is so clear. Jesus knew why he was here. He knew what he came to do. He knew that everything in his life was pointing him to this moment at this time for this purpose. He knows he is beginning what will be the most significant week in human history, and he is ready for his entrance. And what an entrance it's going to be. Jerusalem at this time, it wouldn't have been as it typically was. It was the biggest city around, but at this time, the city has swelled with people. You've got to remember, this is the Passover, and that means millions of people who don't live in Jerusalem have traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, to bring their sacrifices to the temple, as was the custom at this time. This place is packed. Jerusalem is just packed with people. It's Colorado Boulevard on New Year's Day, packed, all right? People everywhere. And it's into this rowdy scene that Jesus rides in. He tells his disciples to go into that village over there and find a donkey and her colt and bring them to him. And it's on this colt that he is going to ride in to this jam-packed, crazy scene of Jerusalem. And we can't miss how important this is. You see, by riding into Jerusalem on this colt, he is without a doubt making a claim in front of millions of people that he is the Messiah. By riding in on this colt, he is saying, I am the one that you read about from hundreds of years ago. I am the one you have been waiting for. Yet even with this clear claim to be the Messiah, these people, they miss the point that he was making. You see, these people, they were expecting the Messiah. But what they were really expecting was a political and a military revolutionary to show up. They were expecting somebody to come in and win them a victory. We see that in the story when they go and they get the palm branches, and in some gospels they wave them, and in this one they lay them down on the ground. That was something historically that people did when a military victory has taken place and the new reigning king is riding into a city. They would wave these branches and put them down. What they're saying is, lead us into this revolution that we are waiting for. I mean, even the words that they say, they really demonstrate that they missed the point of what was happening. They declare in our translation, praise God for the Son of David. Though more accurately, the word that they shout is this word, Hosanna. This word, like Alex said earlier, has a meaning of, oh, save us. Save us. You see, they recognized Jesus as the Son of David, and they were crying out for him to save them, but they had no concept of what he was actually there to do and there to save them from. And this scene, to be honest, I mean, we read it on Palm Sunday, and there's some great things to draw from it, but to be honest, this scene, it actually breaks my heart a little bit. Because yes, they're there. Yes, they're celebrating. Yes, they're shouting for Jesus. But I have to wonder, how many of these people who on Sunday were shouting Hosanna would on Friday be lending their voices shouting for the crucifixion of Jesus? How many of them would be shouting something so different later on? And this blows my mind, because they were saying the right things about Jesus in this story, yet they completely missed the point of who he was and of what he came to do. How many of you know that we can know the right things about Jesus and we can say the right things about Jesus, but sometimes miss what he's actually wanting to do in our lives? So many times, Fusion, in my life, I've said the right things about Jesus's love. Oh, Fusion, you are so loved by Jesus. You are so loved by him. When you wake up in the morning and you take that first look in the mirror, you are looking into the eyes of somebody passionately loved by Jesus. And when you are about to go to bed after you've brushed your teeth, when you take one last glance in the mirror, you are looking into the eyes of somebody passionately loved by Jesus. And there is nothing that can happen between those two events to change that fact. You are loved by Jesus. But how often do I miss that point for me? And do I think his love is something I've got to earn? And his love is something that I might mess up in some way? I can miss the point. How many times have I said the right things about Jesus' forgiveness? Fusion. If you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you. And as far as the east is from the west, that far will he separate your sins from you. You are forgiven because of what Jesus did for you. I can say those things, but how often do I forget that's true for me? And I think I've got to earn my forgiveness. So many times in my life, I've said the right things about Jesus' promises. His promises for you. Man, Fusion, he's got a plan for you. It's a plan to prosper you. It's not a plan to harm you. It's a plan to give you a future and a hope. And the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. But how often do I forget to claim his promises for me and for my family? I miss the point. How many times have I said the right things about Jesus' proper place in our lives? He is the king. He deserves to sit on the throne of your life. And if you were sitting on the throne of your own life, get up, because he is the only one who can be there and run it like it should. Yet how often do I find myself sitting on the throne of my own life, missing the point that he desires to be king of my life as well? How many times have I said the right things about Jesus' call to participate in his kingdom going forward, that he wants to use us, his church, to participate in seeing his kingdom go forward, his hope go forward, his love go forward in this world? I've said those things so often, yet I've missed the point that he also wants that to be true for me as well. I can miss the point. Even with the right knowledge of Jesus, we can miss the point, can't we? There is a difference between knowing that Jesus is Lord and making Jesus Lord of your life. Do not miss the point of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Do not miss the point of what Jesus has given you through his love and his mercy and through his Holy Spirit. Do not miss the point of what Jesus is calling you to do in your life. And this crowd, they missed the point of who Jesus is, because they were expecting a powerful, politically and militarily driven king. And what they got was a sacrificial lamb. They were expecting to be liberated from their Roman oppressors. But Jesus came not as a political liberator, but as the suffering servant, riding in on a humble donkey, preaching a message about this thing, this kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God, it was different than what anybody had heard before. Preaching about a kingdom where he says, listen, in this kingdom right here, the last, they will actually be first. In this kingdom, greater love has none than this, that you would lay down your life for a friend. In this kingdom, I come not to be served, but to serve others. Jesus, he came to sacrifice himself on a cross ultimately, but he began teaching his disciples about sacrifice long before he ever climbed that hill carrying that cross. Yet his disciples so often, these guys who were with him, who saw what he was doing, they still missed the point. It begins with the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And then it continues on with us, Fusion, choosing to lay down our lives for the sake of his glory and for his kingdom. But here's the thing. It's not just that as his followers, we're called to lay down our lives, to sacrifice our lives, to give everything, and then we're just left with nothing in its place. Yes, Jesus came to sacrifice himself, to show us what love looks like, and then to call us to do the same. But he also came, Fusion, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Fusion, the life that we are looking for, the life that we are longing for, it's not found in hoarding and collecting and gathering and protecting everything for ourselves. The life that we are looking for and longing for, it's actually found when we sacrifice, when we lay it down. There are so many in this room in a season of trying to figure it out, right? Work, school, relationships. Should I take that job? Should I not take that job? Should I go back to school? Should I not go back to school? Should I get into that relationship? Should I break up with them? Should I move out of my parents' house? Should I move back into my parents' house, right? So many people trying to figure it out, trying to build this plan for their lives. But here's the thing. When you take all of those plans, all of those hopes, all of those dreams, and when you sacrifice them, when you lay them down at the feet of Jesus, and you say, Jesus, here's what I want. Here's what I think I'm good at. Here's how I think I'm gifted. I lay all of this before you. Would you show me what you want me to do? Would you lead me in what you want me to do? When you sacrifice your plans and your dreams before Jesus, what you're going to find is suddenly you are walking in his will for your life. You have found your way in to what Jesus is leading you to. And it began when you said, I'll sacrifice all of this to pick up what you have for me instead. If you're married or if you plan to be married someday, the marriage that you are hoping for, the marriage that you are looking for, it is not found in always trying to get your own way in the situation. The marriage that you are actually longing for and looking for is found through sacrificing yourself, sacrificing your desires, sacrificing your wants for the other person. What Ephesians 5 tells us, right? You should love your spouse as Christ loved the church, sacrificing himself, laying down his life for her. That's how you find your way into to the marriage that you're actually looking for. The financial life, the financial peace that you're looking for is not found through earning more money and building more wealth. It's actually found through sacrifice, through saying no to yourself and your immediate desires, and instead saying, Lord, here's my finances. Would you use them for your glory? I'm going to give. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to say no to myself at times so that I can walk in the freedom that you have for me. Fusion, the community that we believe God is building here in this room. Man, I hope you guys have a lot of hope and excitement for what God is doing here at Fusion, because there are some amazing stuff happening. There are dozens of people who join these six-week connect groups who are meeting throughout the week saying, I believe in Fusion enough that I'm going to come, I'm going to learn more, I'm going to learn about what my next step might be to lean into this community. Listen, the Fusion community we believe God is building here in this place, it is achieved through sacrifice. It is achieved through people in this room saying, I believe enough in Fusion. I believe enough in the mission to build a home for a generation. So 18 to 35-year-olds in the city of Los Angeles would know they have a place in the church. I believe in that so much, I will sacrifice something for it. I will give some time. I will give some energy. I will make a cup of coffee at the cafe so somebody new can have a great cafe experience. I will serve a meal over there. I will hand out bulletins and smile at people as they walk in the door. I will go and rock babies once a month so parents can come to church. The Fusion that we're believing God is building, it happens when people in this room decide, I will sacrifice something for it. Fusion, if you think this place exists to be a performance that you come and watch once a week, you're missing the point. It is through sacrifice that God is leading us into. Alex, if you'll join me up here. Now listen, please don't misunderstand me on this. In Jesus, there is such joy. There is such hope. There is such promise. He redeems and he forgives and he heals and he gives second chances and third chances and he leads us in the righteous way, in his way. But if you are looking for a life following Jesus that requires no sacrifice on your part, you're missing the point. Following Jesus won't cost you a lot. It'll cost you everything. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, listen, if you want to follow me, that's great. Count the cost first. Make sure you know what you're getting into. It's not the easy road, but it's the road that leads to life. The abundant life. We call it the more life around here. See, the point that everybody seemed to miss in the triumphal entry was that the Son of God came to show the greatest sacrificial love the world had ever seen by dying on a cross so that we might be forgiven. And then, 3 days later, rising from the grave, he would call his followers, including us, if you are a follower of Jesus today, that he would call his followers to show the world this same kind of sacrificial love. This kind of love that says, I will lay it down. Whatever it might be for you, your dreams, your plans, your finances, your relationships, whatever it might be, I will lay it down so that my coworkers might come to know him. So my family might come to know him. So my friends might come to know him. Fusion, the more we can be a community of sacrificial love, the more we will show Christ to each other. The more we will show Christ to this community. The more we will show Christ to our city and to this world that, as we talked about earlier, is desperate, is looking, is longing, is aching to know about the sacrificial love of Jesus. And the more that we can show others the sacrificial love of Christ, the more we're going to start to look like Christ in our own lives as well. Greater love has none than this, that you would lay down your life for a friend. We would see no greater example of this than a few days after Jesus rides into Jerusalem, when he willingly hangs on a cross, showing the world what the most true form of love has ever looked like. And I want to encourage you, Fusion, join us this Friday for one of our Good Friday services. We're going to take some time and really dive into that event and that moment. We're going to sit in it together for a little while. But before he went to the cross, Jesus, he shared a meal with his friends. There was an upper room that they had prepared, and he gathered his friends together. And at that meal, Scripture tells us, he took a loaf of bread, or he took some bread, and he broke it. And he told them, this right here, this represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point of this. This represents my body, which is going to be broken for you, so you can be forgiven, so that you can be healed. And when you get together with each other, occasionally, break some bread together. And remember the sacrifice that I so lovingly and willingly made on your behalf. And then after he took the bread, the Bible says he took a cup. And he said, this cup right here, this represents the new covenant. This represents my blood, which is about to be shed for you. And it means there's a new deal. There's a new covenant in place. See, it's no longer about the sacrifices you can bring to me. Now it's about the sacrifice that I'm going to make for you. Remember, this is Passover. They are seeing thousands and thousands of animals sacrificed to be made right with God again. And Jesus says, it's not about that anymore. Now it's about my blood. Now it's about my sacrifice that I'm going to make for you. This is how you're made right with God. And when you get together, take this cup and remember the new deal. Remember the new covenant that we have together. So we're going to take a few moments together as a family. And we're going to have some bread, and we're going to have some juice, and we're going to remember the sacrifice Jesus made. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are invited into this moment of remembering. And listen, if that's not you, if you haven't come to that place, know that you are welcome here. We are so glad that you are here. You can just let that tray pass you by. No one's going to think any less of you in that moment. That is totally fine. But if you are a follower of Christ, would you remember this great sacrifice that he made on your behalf? And if you came with somebody, if you've got a friend or a roommate or a significant other or a spouse here, I want to invite you to take this together. Take this moment, share this moment, remind each other of the body and the blood that was broken and that was shed for you. Ushers, would you come?